Well, I imagine at one time or another, you've all heard one of those priceless commercials that MasterCard does. One of the first ones that they did, I believe, was of a young family at a baseball game. And it shows them walking into the stadium and they flash up on the screen the price of their tickets. And they go to the concession stand and it tells you the price of the hot dogs and the nachos and everything else. And then they're waving around that number one fan foam sign. And they put up the price of that. Then it says, your kid's first major league game, priceless. Everyone goes, oh, yeah. And then at the end, of course, they always say, and there are some things in life money can't buy. But for everything else, there's MasterCard, right? Most of you have seen one of those commercials at some time or another. But what in life is truly priceless? I submit to you this morning that it is life itself. Life is priceless. Today is Sanctity of Life Sunday. And around the nation this morning, Christians are observing this gift of life given to us by our Creator. I'd like to spend some time this morning looking into God's Word and exploring the value that the Creator of all things places on human life. And as we go through this, we're going to definitely have in our minds those pictures of those babies that we just saw on the screen during that video. But I want you to also personally hear what God says about you this morning. I want you to understand the value that God also places on you in your life. And we're going to look at four different things this morning, four elements that display God's incredible love for us, for human beings. The first thing that we find in God's Word is that the pinnacle of all creation was the creation of human life. The Genesis account says that God first created the earth and the atmosphere. Then God created all the living creatures that live on the earth, that live in the seas, and that fly over the earth. And in verse 25 of chapter 1 of Genesis, God said that this part of creation was good. This was good. Good stuff. I like it. But God wasn't finished. On the sixth day, God created man. He created human life. And then we look at verse 31, and we see what God thinks of that sixth day of creation, of bringing forth human life. Everything else God said was good. But human life, he says, now that's very good. I don't just like it, I love it. That is very, very good. He said this because human life was the pinnacle, the climax, the apex, the very purpose of all the rest of creation. He stopped creating once he made us. Because everything else was made with us, human beings, in mind. Much of the scientific community adheres to something referred to as the anthropic principle. And simply stated, this anthropic principle implies that when we look at the world around us, it seems, this is science talking now, it seems that the universe was somehow designed to support and nourish human life. Imagine that. For example, raise or lower the Earth's rate of expansion by even one part in the million, and it would be impossible for human life to exist. If the ratio of carbon to oxygen was off in any direction, in either direction, human life couldn't exist because we couldn't breathe. Change the tilt of the Earth's axis slightly one direction or the other, and it's either going to be freezing cold, or it's going to be so hot we're going to all burn up to a crisp. Suppose the Earth had been a little closer or further from the sun, or a little bit larger or a little bit smaller. Suppose it rotated at a different speed than it does right now. Any of those things, and human life would not be possible. So the lesson that we can draw from this anthropic principle is this, is that someone, and we all know it was God, went to a lot of effort to make things just right so that you and I could have life and enjoy life. Even science speaks to the reality of a creator. They just don't know it, most of them anyway. We are the pinnacle achievement of God's creative work, and we are very good in His sight. Human life is the most treasured thing that God has ever created. The most treasured of all creation was the creation of us, you and I. You are God's masterpiece, and you are priceless. And I want to underscore this again this morning. I know that there are some people in this room, even right now, or who are going to listen to this online, that need to hear this reality and need to be reminded of this. You are the treasured creation of the Creator God. You are His masterpiece, and you are priceless. The second indication of our worth is the manner of how God created us. So the first thing that we see as we look at the creation of human beings is that we are the pinnacle of God's creation. Everything else was created so that we could exist, so that He could create us. But the second indication of our worth is how God created us, the manner in which we were created. You see, the creation of man differs from all other creation. In each one of the other acts of creation, what did God do? He spoke. He said, "Let there be," and there was. He spoke everything else into existence. "Let there be light," and there was light. But only the creation of human life begins with this statement. "Let us make man." Let us make man. God didn't just speak us into existence. He made us. He fashioned us. You get the picture of a craftsman using all the love and care that's within him to put together this masterpiece. A potter with his hands in the clay, molding it. Making it, fashioning it. Nothing else in creation was made this way. Everything else was just spoken into existence. "Let it be. Make it so." And it happened. But God formed us. It says in Genesis 2, verse 7, "The Lord God formed the man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being." God did not breathe the breath of life into anything else. We are special. Human life is special to God. We are made differently, more carefully, more intentionally, because we are priceless. We are made with care by God. Made with care by God. Pastor and author Max Lucado tells in his book, The Applause of Heaven, about a sweater that hangs in his closet. He says that he seldom wears it. It's too small. The sleeves are too short. The shoulders are too tight. Some of the buttons are missing. The threads are all frazzled. Logically, he says he should throw that sweater out. Why? Because it has no use. He's not going to be able to wear it again. It simply takes up space in his closet. That's what logic says. But love says something different. Love, Max Lucado reports, won't let him get rid of that sweater. Why not? What's so unusual about this sweater? Well, to start with, it has no label in it. It's not a label in the sweater. There's no tag telling you to wash in cold water. It's because it wasn't made in a factory. It wasn't made by some employee just putting out the next product. It wasn't made on an assembly line. Rather, it was the creation of a devoted mother expressing her love. His mother made him this sweater. So the sweater's unique, you see. It's one of a kind. It's irreplaceable. Each strand of that sweater was chosen with care by his mother. Each thread selected with affection and purpose. And so, even though the sweater seems to have lost all of its value, it's really lost none of its value. Why? Because it's not valuable because of its function, but that sweater is valuable because of its maker. And so is each life. No matter whether it seems useful now or in the future, no matter what condition that life is in, no matter whether that life can do something for you or for society or not, that life is valuable. Each life is valuable. Your life is valuable. Because of the manner that you were created by God Himself. The third proof that life is priceless is revealed in this fact that only human beings were created in the image and in the likeness of God. I'm telling you what, it just keeps getting better and better when you think about God's love and value that He has on us. We're the pinnacle of His creation. We're made in a manner where He formed us and breathed life into us. And so we have value because of the fact that God made us. But then there's this reality that we were actually made in the image and in the likeness of Him, of our Heavenly Father. It says in Genesis 1:26, then God said, let us make man, this is the Trinity talking, let us make man in our image, in our likeness. God's purpose in creating us, in creating human beings, was to make creatures, if you will, to make us so that we could actually relate with Him. He made us so that we could have relationship with Him. Heart to heart, soul to soul, spirit to spirit. Nothing else walking on this earth can have relationship with God in that manner, in the way that we can. Why? Because we were made in the image and the likeness of God. Why were we made in the image and likeness? So that we could have relationship with Him. So that we could have a love relationship with God the Father in a way that nothing else ever could. He created you to have relationship with you. We're not pets. Pets can be wonderful. They can be comforting. They can be a joy to have around. But you can't have a relationship with a pet like you can with another person. You can't have a soul-to-soul, heart-to-heart, spirit-to-spirit relationship. So God created us in His image and in His likeness for real, intimate, true relationship to exist. What's really amazing is that we are actually the closest thing in all creation to God. We are. We are not gods, and we can never get that wrong. There are some that do get that wrong. We are not created to be gods. We are created in His likeness and in His image. But we are like Him. The closest thing in all creation to Him. Did you know that angels are never said to be created in God's image? They aren't. Only man is created in God's image. And there are many people who believe that the order of things is it's God, then angels, then humans. But that's not true. It's God, and then us, then angels, and so on and so forth. And it's interesting because we'll be raising our children and we'll think, I just want to raise little angels. No, you don't. No, you don't. You want to raise children to grow up and to experience relationship with their Heavenly Father. To live in the likeness and the image of the One who created them. To live out the existence that they were created to live out. Something way much better than what the angels get to experience. We're made in the image and the likeness of God. In Psalm 8, verse 5, it says, You made Him, speaking of humans, that's us. You made Him, you made us people, a little lower than the heavenly beings, and crowned Him with glory and honor. Now, some people get that confused a little bit when it talks about heavenly beings, and they translate it improperly. The word heavenly beings in the Hebrew is actually Elohim, which is the word for God. So Psalm 8 verse 5 is talking about the fact that we were made just a little lower than God. In His likeness, in His image. We are not God, we are not gods. But we are like Him so that we can have relationship with Him. So humans are valuable and we're precious because number one, we are the pinnacle of His creation. Number two, we were made in a different manner than anything else ever created. Fashioned by His hands. Breathe into our nostrils the life from God Himself. And number three, because we are more like God than anything else. But the priceless value of human life is really seen at a whole nother level when we look at this fourth element of why we're valuable. See, number four, human beings are of such inconceivable worth that God actually sacrificed His own Son, so that we could be saved from our sins. We're of such extreme value to God that He gave His only Son, Jesus Christ, to redeem us, to restore our relationship that we had broken, that we had thoroughly and completely messed up and thrown away. And God said, no, I didn't create you for that future. I created you to have relationship with you. And I value that so much. I value you so much. I value that relationship so, so much that I'm going to send my Son, Jesus Christ, to live and to die and to redeem you and to redeem our relationship. God not only loved us enough to create us in His image, but He also loved us enough to pay that unbelievable cost of redeeming us. Of course, we know in John 3:16 that God so loved the world. And when it says that He so loved the world, it's not just creation. He so loved you and me, is what that scripture is talking about. He so loved people, you and me, that He gave His only Son. That whoever believes in Him, whoever has relationship with Him, whoever calls on Him and receives Him as their Lord and Savior, will not die, but be restored to relationship with our Heavenly Father and have eternal relationship with Him. And then it says in Romans 5 verse 8, God demonstrated His incredible love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. That's a whole nother level of love. God loves us. He loves us. Life is priceless to Him. I mean, parents, could you imagine? I mean, think about this. Sometimes we just have to really get to that level of understanding and putting ourselves as much as we can in God's shoes from time to time. To understand, because sometimes, again, it gets too much theory, gets too much theology, too much doctrine, and we miss what God has really done for us and His love for us. I mean, He sent His only Son to die for us. Imagine the love that you would have for somebody else, parents, to send your child, to allow your child to die for that person in order that that other person might be rescued and saved. Imagine that. We just had this cruise ship that went down, and people were the first, anybody who could get on these boats was wanting on the boats. It was like every man, woman, and child for themselves type environment is what I'm hearing on the news for the most part. Even the captain was bailing, trying to save himself. To be willing to give up a loved one's life to rescue somebody else is so hard to comprehend. And then God does this for us. And we weren't nice people to God. We were sinning against Him. We were hurting His heart. We were violating Him in so many ways. Yet He said, I love them. I love them too much. I will send my Son to rescue them, to redeem them. Because life is priceless. And they are valuable. Human life is priceless. You are priceless. Created by God Himself. To be loved by Him, rescued by the blood of God's own Son because you're loved by Him, because God loves people, all people. I have a little something I want to do this morning. This is going to require some participation by all of us in the room. So I don't want you to hold back. I want you to respond the way you would respond if you were sitting in your living room right now, okay? And somebody did this. You got it? You ready? I've got a $100 bill, a crisp $100 bill in my hands here. How many of you want this? Okay, anybody not raising their hand right now, I don't know. We might have to have a little counseling session after this. I mean, come on. How many of you want this $100 bill? Yeah, everyone in this room wants this $100 bill. It's a nice crisp one, too. You see how nice this is? I mean, it's a beautiful, beautiful bill here. Well, I don't know. Oh, I'm just going to crumple it up a little bit. It just looked too good, you know? Anyway, here it is. It's just, let me show it to you again. Looks a little different, but how many of you want this? You still want this thing? It doesn't look like it used to look. You guys, I'm under my foot. I have no idea what I stepped on this morning walking in here. I mean, no idea. As I grind this into the ground, I don't even want to pick it up after that. But so here it is. Does anybody still want this? Anybody? All right, there are a couple people that did put their hand down. I can understand that after me putting it under my shoe. So everyone's still raising their hand. Everyone still wants it. What if I just kind of tore it up a little bit like that? Does anybody who wants it? Right. Right. Everyone still wants it. I'm going to put it in my pocket, by the way. I'm sorry. Everyone still wants, no matter what I did to this $100 bill, everyone still saw the value in it. Right? You still wanted it because it didn't decrease in value at all, did it? It's still $100. It's still worth the same, no matter what condition it's in. Crisp, torn up, crumpled under my foot, torn, doesn't matter. It's a $100 bill. The value is there, and it's always there. It's the same way with our lives. And there's many of us who don't look all, you know, nice and put together, and we've gone through some difficult things, and we've been crumpled up, we've been torn, we've been stomped under people's feet. Or feet. We've had difficult things happen with us. Life is hard and it's messy. But our value isn't in how clean we are, in how wonderful we look. It's not based on how good or how bad our past was. Our value is the same from the moment that we were created by our Creator. We don't lose value at all. You are priceless to God. Hey, seriously, no matter what has happened to you, no matter what will happen in your life, you will never lose your value in God's eyes. You never will. To Him, whether you're dirty or clean, crumpled or finely pressed, whatever your condition is, you're still priceless to Him. He still sent His Son to redeem you, to restore you. Psalm 17:8 tells us that, in fact, we're the apple of His eye. You are the apple of God's eye. He loves you. The apple of His eye. Our worth doesn't come in who we are or what we've done or what condition we're in. Our worth comes from the fact of whose we are. Not who we are, but whose we are. We are God's people. Created in His image and likeness for relationship with Him for now and for all eternity. All of human life is valuable. And so as children of God, even as the Word came forth this morning in our time of prophetic time, as God loves us so much and God puts such a high value on human life and such a love for everyone out there, we've got to understand that, and then we've got to be God's people now who are affected by that love and go show that love to the rest of the world. We've got to be people who stand up and say life is priceless. Whether it's in the womb, whether it's been crumpled and torn up because of the circumstances of life, or whether it's late in life, unable to continue to contribute to society, it doesn't matter. Life is priceless. And we, God's people, who have received life from Him and received eternal life from Him, received incredible, inconceivable love from Him, have got to show that to the world and stand up for that and declare that to a world that doesn't get it. You don't find that walking around the streets. You don't find that from the world, but we find it from God, and we're called to bring that to the world. Lord, I ask that, God, the truth of who You are, the truth of who we are, the truth of Your unbelievable, inconceivable, great love that You have for us, God, would penetrate our hearts and our minds, Lord. That we would get it, that we would understand that Your love for us is never ending. that we would understand the great lengths that you went to create us, to make us, to have relationship with us, and then the inconceivable, unbelievable act of sending your Son, Jesus Christ, to redeem us and to restore us to relationship with you. God, let us not let that go in one ear and out the other. Let it be a reality, Lord, that we live out of every moment of every day, Lord. Let it so change us, God, that we would be those people who bring your love and your glory into this world, God. We are your people. We are your prize. You are our God. You are our Father. And we love you. Lord, I ask your blessing upon each person in this congregation, in this room, even right now, Lord. That your love would be revealed to them. And that your glory, too, would be revealed to them, in them, and through them. We love you. In Jesus' name. Amen.